Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. And we start today with some breaking news. 40 Black and Latinx leaders from across the Commonwealth are coming together to address disparities and inequities in our healthcare system. The Health Equity Compact includes leaders from hospitals, businesses, public health, academic institutions, and more. And they'll be presenting the agreement at a press conference at the Dimmock Community Health Center in Roxbury this afternoon. But first, two of the organizers are joining us here on Radio Boston with an exclusive peek. Here with us in studio to Michael Curry, CEO of the Massachusetts League of Community Health Centers and a member of the NAACP's Board of Directors, and Juan Lopera, the Chief Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Officer at Beth Israel Lahey Health. Michael, welcome back.
Glad to be back.
And Juan, welcome to you.
Thanks for having me.
So there's a lot I want to dive into here in this partnership in terms of public momentum, awareness, why now? But let's start with your why. What was the moment for each of you? And Michael, I'll start with you. The moment where you were like, something has to change, change now. We have to do something differently and we can.
Well, you know, it's so funny. I think it's a culmination of moments, right? I think about people who've been fighting uphill to deal with health inequities for a long time. I think about John Auerbach, Boston Public Health Commission, for many years. I think about Dr. Joe Betancourt, who you've had as a guest, who's been fighting this fight around health inequities for years. And then COVID hit. And all of a sudden, what they had been telling us for years, which is that there are people who are more likely to have disease and that there's a cause for it. As Rebecca Lee Crumpler, the first African-American physician, 19th century, said, they seem to forget there's a cause for every ailment and it may be in their power to remove it. So environments, food insecurity, housing insecurity, education, environmentally unsafe communities, racism, all those things we now know as the social determinants of health came to play in COVID, which meant more Black and brown people were essential workers, we were dealing with comorbidities, we were more likely to be hospitalized and die from COVID. So what do we do with all that, right? Now that we've had an epiphany on all these things, how do we now turn that into a movement to deal with those underlying issues that had Black and brown folks dying early? And as we've said, Juan and I've talked about, we've been weathered to death and sickness in Black and brown communities. We have to unweather ourselves.
So Juan, in asking you for your moment, I'm going to tweak my question a little. I was fascinated by Michael just saying, you know, for every ailment, there's a cause and there may be the power to remove it. So what was the moment when maybe you realized that there was power to do something about this in Greater Boston today?
The moment really for me was recognizing that we do have individuals in positions of power and influence in our healthcare system here in Massachusetts. We have individuals like Michael Curry, we have Dr. Maisha Minter-Jordan, Mike, and we have my counterpart at the Med General Brigham, Dr. Elsie Taveras. A number of us came together and said, we have to seize this moment. We are in positions of influence. We have the support of the corner office. Many of us are in C-suite level roles, and we have that lived experience. You know, too many of us have had family members who have passed. I've had to mourn the death of father-in-law, two uncles, in the span of 3 weeks a year ago.
I'm sorry.
And so it's real to us. And it would be irresponsible of us to let this moment go by without looking to make systemic change.
So, Michael, I do want to pick up on this idea of the incredible presence of leaders in power who are Black and Latinx with the announcement. The press announcement was a piece of paper that had the names, the titles, and the pictures of the 40 leaders in this coalition. And having been in Boston, right, for a quarter of a century, yeah, us having had conversations year over year over year about white leadership in Boston ineffectively tackling Black and brown problems, it does look like we are seeing a sea change in where the power lies.
Yeah, so, you know, I've been doing policy work 25 years, right? 16 years at Blue Cross now, 14 years, 10 years at Blue Cross now, 14 years at the Mass League Community Health Centers, and now the CEO. I can tell you, having engaged elected officials on every level, And good-hearted folks who really want to do good and do right by communities, and the communities particularly that they represent. The reality is, if you want to do something around women's health, right, if there's a, in terms of maternity care or women's issues, have women in leadership. Because it won't just be a conversation, they'll be vested in the solutions. What we've not seen in government is we've not seen people, in the for-profit sector, we've not seen a large contingent of black and brown people with lived experiences, Juan said, who actually will make this a top priority, not a priority, not something that gets pushed aside when they're competing interests or competing priorities. What you're now seeing is we have black and Latinx leaders running stuff, hospital systems, health plans, philanthropy with Lee Pelton at the Boston Foundation, who are now coming to say together to say, hey, if we don't do it, who will? If not us, then who? And it presents an opportunity. We've never seen this moment in Massachusetts, never seen this much representation in the government sector and in the private nonprofit sector. We have to seize that opportunity. And if we don't, then again, we've been weathered to higher rates of disease and death in communities of color that meant that black and brown folks will die in their 30s and 40s. Diabetes, heart disease, cancer, 2-3 times more likely to suffer and to die. We can do something about it. I think this is our responsibility to do that, to do it together with our allies in government and in the for-profit, nonprofit sector. This will be a movement that we hopefully are generating today with the announcement.
And I do want to underscore that data. So a study done by the VCU Center on Human Needs in 2012 found that life expectancy of someone living in the Back Bay was almost 90. But right down the road in Roxbury, the number went down to 60. That is a 30-year disparity by neighborhood. And we know that there are massive demographic differences in those neighborhoods around race, income, education level, et cetera.
So, if I could on that, just because why not? So we need to understand what that means, right? Because I don't know if that resonates with everybody. So a 30-year loss in lifespan, right? That's talent being lost. That's workforce being lost. There may be a person that's in that talent pool that's meant to produce something for society that we need to produce. So we need to connect. If you're in Newton right now or Wellesley or Western Mass, I need you to connect with that data point and say, no, this matters to me too, because we're losing a population and we have a responsibility collectively to do something about it.
Collective life, talent, wisdom, capability, learning, community spirit, human capability.
Amen.
So we are talking about the newly announcing later today, the Health Equity Compact with Michael Curry, who's the CEO of the Massachusetts Legal Community Health Centers, and Juan Lopera, who's Chief Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Officer for Beth Israel Lahey Health. So let's get to brass tacks, Juan. Now's the moment. There's a moment of will. There's a moment of power. There's a moment of positions of power. What are you actually going to do?
So we've been meeting now going on about 8 or 9 months virtually. This actually will be the first time today when we actually bring this big family together, because that's what it feels like, is a family of people with lived experience who've been working together for a long time, first time coming together. So over the past 8 months or so, we've been meeting regularly via Zoom, working on a plan, working on a blueprint for how to address health equity the same way that other aspects of health reform have been addressed in Massachusetts. If you think back to universal coverage up to 28, the so-called Romney Care, right? When we expanded coverage, and that led the way for the rest of the country to expand coverage. We then had additional chapters of reform in Massachusetts around payment reform and healthcare affordability, chapters 305 and chapter 224. We feel that now is the time to have health equity be that next chapter in health reform in Massachusetts. And within that, we have a number of components, including governance within healthcare policymaking. There's a health policy commission in Massachusetts that makes really important decisions regularly, but there isn't a single person of color that's part of that health policy commission. So we need more people in positions in government. We mentioned how we have plenty of, we have growing, we need more representation in the private sector. We need equal representation in the public sector. We also need to be able to measure health equity the way we measure other aspects of healthcare. We were able to measure cost of care. There's pretty well accepted ways of measuring that now, quality of care.
So I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt you there, because I think if I can dig into that cost of care one, we can help people connect with this and maybe even help me connect with this in a different way. What are we doing wrong in the way we measure cost of care that if we did it differently, it would affect health equity outcomes?
what we haven't been able to do is quantify the cost of inequality, right? So if your diabetes is not managed well, that leads to potentially avoidable emergency department visits, hospitalizations. So being able to quantify that is a key component that will come out of this compact work.
Literally the public health cost, the money cost, as well as the cost to an individual in terms of their time, financial outlay, life expectancy, et cetera.
To employers as well. That's right.
And that's how we got health reform in Massachusetts, right? As Andrew Dreyfus, a good friend at Blue Cross Blue Shield, said to us when we were meeting on this, we got health reform in Massachusetts, became the model for the Affordable Care Act on a national level because we made the business case, right? So not everyone's going to be drawn into the fact there are people dying early and dying of disease. Some people will be drawn in by the dollar impact, that emergency room use is costly, inpatient days are costly. How do we bring down that cost? That's by investing in interventions and in addressing inequities in the system. That's going to resonate with some of the folks we need to move the needle, and particularly policymakers. And I think that's the work. Again, credit to Blue Cross Blue Shield Foundation for the work that they're planning to do with us to actually produce a report around the cost of inequity.
So timing on that, when do we expect to see that report?
We're roughly looking at early next year, so it seems like far away, but we want to make a very comprehensive assessment of all the aspects of the cost of inequality. So roughly early next year is our current time frame.
So, you know, we've talked about the size and scope of unequal access to healthcare, unequal access to the quality of life inputs, like stable housing and healthy foods that are sometimes called the social determinants of health, but that we know drive outcomes. I'm thinking to a time when I was working on in a program to break the generational cycle of poverty. And I went to a business plan competition and I made my pitch for our organization. And they shut me down and wouldn't even let me finish the pitch because they found it so implausible that one could break something like the cycle of poverty, that they're like, we need practical stuff you can actually do. Literally wouldn't even let me finish the pitch. So for those who are listening to this conversation and saying, folks, this is hundreds of years old problem. This is deeply rooted in systemic racism. What are 40 people actually going to do that's going to make a difference? What's the answer?
Well, so if I laughed as you were saying that, because of course we get that when people say, well, it's boiling the ocean. Right? What are you trying to boil the ocean? I think the reality is, I've been in policy a long time. We've boiled many oceans in this country. The New Deal was boiling the ocean, right? Dealing with the war on poverty was boiling the ocean. It was dramatic. It was big. New systems and investments. We've done it in Massachusetts with health reform. Many people would have argued prior to the passage of health reform in 2006, that was boiling the ocean. It was too many things, bringing down the uninsured rate, making sure that we have more people with coverage to keep them out of the emergency rooms, dealing with value-based care. How do we invest in care? All of that's boiling the ocean. What we're now asking as 40-plus leaders of color is that the next train leaving the station be one about health equity, that we also dream high around what we can do to eliminate health disparities. It is not that it couldn't have been addressed. It's that it's never been prioritized. I would tease this up for you, Tiziana, as Juan and I talk about. There's a tsunami coming that we've not talked about that I think brings some urgency to this work. Deferred care. So for the last 2 years, Black and brown folks who are already disparately sick and dying were also not able to get care. So where you might have been diagnosed for stage 1 cancer or stage 2 cancer, it's now stage 4. Now your diabetes is out of control. Now your mental health issue may be exacerbated, or your substance use disorder, as we think about mass and CAS. And the reality is, in our health center data between 2019 and 2020, screenings for cervical cancer declined by 15%. For colorectal cancer, by 17%. For depression and follow-up care, 19%. The number of patients with controlled blood pressure decreased by 16%. So not only was there a problem before that had folks who look like me, who from my communities, my family members, Juan's family members, dying and suffering, we're now going to see that exacerbated over the next 5 years. And the data won't come out right away. We have to seize this opportunity now.
And on that front, I think that this is exactly the reason why we need this compact, because it could, you know, we're moving out of the pandemic, right? We're getting to a new normal. And for average individual, maybe that's the case, but not for our communities of color. We are having to deal with all that Michael said in terms of deferred care. So we need folks with lived experience who are in these positions of influence to be pounding the table and say, we cannot let this happen again, and we must address these issues now, and they need to be at the front and center of every conversation. Everything should go through an equity lens. Every assessment of health should be stratifying data based on race, ethnicity, so we can have that same data that was staring at us during COVID in terms of age-adjusted death rates, hospitalizations, COVID cases. Same approach should be applied to other aspects of healthcare.
And, right. And I want to give a shout out to Gerald Chatavian from Europe. I was talking to him about today and being on with you. And Gerald said, the problem is we should look at it the same way we look at a fire. He said, when there's a fire, we go to where the fire is, right? We deploy our resources to respond to that fire. And what we've not done around health inequity, we've not deployed our resources to where the fire is, where there are higher rates of disease and death. That's what we're asking for. And I think now that we have more people in the policymaking, leadership, CEO, C-suite level, there's an opportunity. It'll come with some diverging interests and opinions. But that's what health reform in 2006 was. There was hospitals competing, disagreeing with health plans. We got there. We hope that we can get there together.
All right. And last question, Juan, I think I'll turn to you. The first thing you're looking for to know it's working, short term, something. I mean, and listen, I don't mean to overemphasize short term because these are long term problems, but something short term we can look for to know it's working.
Well, I think the resources that are deployed towards paying for equity, right? The way we pay for other aspects of healthcare, we should be reimbursing for organizations that are moving the dial on addressing health disparities. And we're starting to see pieces of that. So I think that's an immediate, you know, it fits within value-based care. We're already moving in that direction. In healthcare, you hear the term often, accountable care organizations, embedding health equity into that equation so that we start to reimburse and pay for equity improvement.
So we will follow the money. Mm-hmm. Juan Lopera is the Chief Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Officer at Beth Israel Lahey Health. Michael Curry is CEO of the Massachusetts League of Community Health Centers. They are two of the founders of the Health Equity Compact being announced this afternoon. Thanks to both of you for joining us today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.